Welcome to the Standard Bank CIB Why She Leads podcast. My name is Judy Dlamini, and in this series, Standard Bank highlights women powerhouses who lead within Standard Bank. With me, I have the Chief Operating Officer for Transactional Banking, Ashley Bleasure. Ashley, welcome.
Thank you.
It's such an honor to meet you, and I look forward to our conversation. 22 years, right?
It's a long time.
It is, but it does seem like you're having fun within Standard Bank. You started off as an admitted attorney. How has the change been from being an attorney to being a banker?
That change actually only happened fairly recently. I only took up the COO role in CIB's transaction banking at the beginning of last year. Okay. And it was mind-blowing, but what I definitely realized was the legal skills that I developed over the years actually stood me in good stead. And, you know, lawyers can read, we can absorb the detail, and we can manage and juggle various balls. And I think that's a helpful skill to have. So the transition, you know, I have an amazing team and I have a very supportive boss. And there's wide tolerance for and encouragement for the different ways of engaging or the different reflections. So actually, it was a very kind process. It was actually really, like you say, it was fun.
There's some power in this legal background.
Yeah, and I think it's your legal training actually gives you and Sim actually said it, and he highlighted it. He says the ability to manage at a strategic level, the high level, and then to dive down deep into the detail. And lawyers have to be able to, you know, run that spectrum of where you need to operate. So it definitely does stand you in good stead.
Yeah. It's amazing then how over 22 years, how has the culture evolved for you within the bank?
I was reflecting that I've actually grown up in the bank. And I think coming in from, you know, practice as it then was quite it's an adversarial, very, you know, almost combative. You must remember the lawyers are there to articulate and to win whatever case it is that they have. And one of the biggest reflections for me coming into, you know, our bank was just the warmth. And just how everything was configured to support and to treat you like an asset, not as a liability, and to help you reach your full potential. And so it's an open invitation, you know, to grow up here, make your mistakes. And I've certainly made my mistakes. There's been a lot of smoothing of some of the rougher edges. But I really appreciate the, you know, the ability that I've had to grow with the organization and to be where I needed to be. Sometimes, like I was saying, you know, you want to, you know, it's pedal to the metal and you're going hard. And then other times you just need to lift the pressure a little bit when you're transitioning, if you're having children, if you may be studying. And the organization has got a lot of flex built in to allow you to do that.
That's amazing, because as an outsider looking in, you always think banking, financial services is so hard, it's so much, or it's actually not nurturing. But you're actually saying it actually is the opposite.
Absolutely. And I think that has been the case over those 22 years. And that's not to say that you don't have highs and lows. You know, you will have times, and I call them golden eras, where you have a team and an era of people that you're moving, you know, through the organization with, and it's just really special times. And you have other times people move, people change, and maybe it's not as golden. So you have the more rewarding times, you know, over those long 22 years. It can't be nirvana every day.
Yeah, it couldn't be life.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not that much of a bubble.
Yeah.
It really feeds, I think, across all the human dimensions. If it's your technical, if it's your personal development, your interpersonal skills, there's every kind of support or encouragement to take up any of those initiatives and to evolve and follow your dream and where it is that you need to to take your life to. But those opportunities have to be taken. You know, they're not served on platters.
Yeah.
You have to stand out as being, you know, a candidate that the investment in your development is, you know, worth it. So it's, and it's not a one-day game. I think, you know, it can look intimidating from the outside because you just think you come in and you operate there, but that wouldn't be fair. That would be setting people up for failure. So you come in and you find your path, and all the initiatives and support are there. And obviously what's really good is if you have a line manager, you have a team, and the combined win, if everybody's winning, you know, the team, the business, the bank, the continent, everybody benefits. And that's actually the ideal. So, you know, in this day and age, I think it's a tough world. It's a volatile world. And I think it's an organization that aspires to bring out the best in humanity for the common good. And I think that's the really powerful thing. Maybe our countries, our leaders, our global leaders, maybe they're some of them falling short, you know, role modeling. And you really have to respect an organization that really tries to do right by the world at large and by its people and obviously her clients.
No, definitely. It says it gives us a very good picture that you've been here for more than 20 years and you still feel the way you do. I'm sure you have mentors that you had along the way.
Definitely. And I love that. I know who those people are when I find myself quoting them, you know, as I go about my day to day. And just, you know, my first principal in practice, he always said, you read your papers, Ashley. You must read your papers. People don't read. So just building and fostering that sense for applying your mind, doing your best, putting your best foot forward. And sometimes it's not perfect, but it's, you know, just really giving fully of yourself and committing to doing things to the best of your ability, I think, is a great differentiator. And then my first line manager at the bank was an amazing lady as well. And she had a whole lot of just sound, common sense, practical ways of doing things that to this day, she laid a foundation and a legacy that we reaped the rewards from for many, many years afterwards. And I still look today across some of our areas in transaction banking and I'm like, wow, you know, you guys missed out on somebody like that, just giving you that solid introduction and foundation into the organization. You know, we keep aspiring and trying to pay it forward, all of the benefits we've had. And then, yes, I've had some really fun leaders over my time in the organization. People that really supported and backed, you know, me and you know, some of the struggles I was going through, my team, and they just kind of put their, what do they say, put your arms around your team and just look after your team and I will look after you. And that was all I needed.
That's great. I actually have a message from one of your mentors, Claire Denny.
That was my first line manager.
Yeah. So here goes. This is the letter from her to you. I worked with Ash in the early days of her career. Besides being incredibly good technically, two leadership traits were immediately apparent. Firstly, her strength of character, and secondly, the connections she formed with people. She had a wonderful warmth and sense of humor that just drew you in. I have no doubt that both traits have stood her in good stead as she has progressed in her career. It's funny, I only met you a few minutes ago, but I can feel that warmth that just draws you in and you start chatting and you can't stop. How do you motivate your team?
Those connections are important. Nobody wants to be a number and just arrive, not be seen. Not be appreciated and not be valued. So for me, I find it's so important that people that are entrusted with the care of others, which is what your line managers are, there's a huge responsibility on them to foster that connection that people need to feel to the organization and what we're trying to achieve, to each other. So if you're not fostering that, if you don't give people a sense of belonging and value for their contributions, they disengaged. So for me, building a team is like building a family. You know, it's nurturing and constantly building those connections. And obviously, you know, it's a high performing environment. So we need people that are invested and want to reach their full potential, want to just see where their paths take them and where they go and what opportunities come up. So when you have that magical combination, it's actually unbelievable what you unleash. So for me, teams are about creating connection and intimacy, support, and you move forward together. And I always say, you know, I love it. We bask in, you know, if somebody does well, we bask in your reflected glory. So uplifting and celebrating each other. It's so healthy. If you've got a healthy human ecosystem, there's no limit on what you can achieve.
You know, back 30 years ago, in my world, we spoke about diversity. Then it moved, diversity and inclusion. Then it became belonging also. And you add the you matter element. As a leader, you show the people that you lead that they matter. And yeah, that's why you've been so successful. I have no doubt that you've mentored a lot of people based on what you've said. How many people are you mentoring now, if you are able to say that?
There's the mentoring that you do as part of your daily, you know, engaging with your team, your direct team formally. Then there's some people that will approach you for mentorship engagements and initiatives. There's quite a couple of those. You know, I have Shamiso in the SA team. I have Tertia also in our TXB SA team. I connect a lot with people. So, and I prefer it that way to formal mentoring, you know, because then we need to be clear about what do we want to achieve after the mentoring? What is the leveling up that the person's looking for? So I find, yeah, mentoring is compulsory once you get to a senior level, because you do need to be harvesting and investing back into the people that are your people that you journey with.
Yeah. Lift as you rise.
I love that. Yeah, I do love that.
Actually, I think there's a message from one of your mentees.
It was 2 years ago that I felt that I had reached a glass ceiling in advancing my career. I reached out to Ashley at that time to ask if she would be willing to share her guidance and advice with me. Ashley not only was willing to share insights with me, but wholehearted to continue mentoring me on a longer term basis. Over these 2 years, her guidance has not only placed me in the ideal position to take advantage of the next steps in advancing my career, but has also helped me in overcoming other challenges that were preventing me from achieving my stretch goals. I am very grateful to Ashley for being so generous with both her time and sharing her wealth of experience, especially in our corporate environment where both time and knowledge sharing are scarce commodities. Not only have I learned from Ashley, but this has placed me in a position where I'm able to pay this forward to other people that have approached me for similar guidance. I very much look forward to continuing this journey with Ashley's valuable guidance.
That's amazing. And I wish we could have more of that, because we always say women should mentor others and open the doors and send that ladder back so that someone else could climb, you know. So, yeah, well done in that space. When you started here, you had just got engaged. So you've got married here, and 2 kids later, you're still here and are continuing to rise. What would you say to a 20-year-old who's just finished, she's quite bright because she just finished her junior degree, and she's looking at all the options that the world has to offer. What would you say to her?
I would say, don't waste the opportunities that will be presented here, and put your best foot forward every day. Do not just skim the surface. You have to go in 100%, and you will not believe what the organization and what will come back to you. In fact, you know, I always find the opportunities, find those. This is what opportunity looks like. You know, those that put their hands up and put themselves forward and just are, you know, are generous. They are generous of spirit. They give of themselves and they give of their skill and they give of their time. So don't hold back. It's really important just to be you and to back yourself. And it's hard for a 20-year-old, you know, a young person to do that. But I just find, you know, I love that there's a quote, and I'm probably going to get it wrong, but it's like, just be yourself because everyone else is already taken.
I love that.
And who's got time to manufacture a persona? So just be the best version of you. And even sometimes it's a bit messy, but that, you know, if you're always willing to learn, accept your mistakes, learn from them, and try not to repeat them, that's all anybody ever asks.
Mm, that's so true. And that's what parents are supposed to say to their kids, actually.
Mm.
You can only be the best version of yourself. If someone didn't know you and they get to know you, what surprises do they have in store about who you are?
I think I can come across as quite severe, quite intimidating. And I know for many years, and I don't know if it was coming out of the legal field, you can sometimes be seen as aggressive as opposed to assertive, you know, so it can be a little bit much. You know, people initially will be a bit, she's a lot. But I think once people just calm down and just, you know, we have an opportunity just to be and just to get on with it, they realize I'm definitely not there to fire any guns, you know. I'm there just because I want to get the job done, and I want to get it done to everybody, the best of everybody's ability. So actually, not so scary, I would suppose they would say. And I'm really not trying hard to be scary, but I think it's just, like you say, just from the outside looking in, people don't know you. They don't know what's going on. I'm pretty easygoing, and I can't stand it when people are very rigid and, you know, we have to behave in a certain way, which is why practice didn't really resonate with me. It's very formal. There's a certain way to come, you know, to speak, and I didn't work for me.
That's not you. But, you know, I find that people find it easy to call women leaders aggressive when they are assertive, and assertion is reserved for men.
Mm.
So I think it's a very selective term, depending on who the leader is.
Yeah.
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 What don't you like about your job?
There's just a lot. It's a lot. There's so many balls. And sometimes, you know, you just see all the balls dropping. You're like, oh, those are all my balls dropping. I'll pick them up. But yet, that is the biggest attractor for me because it's ever changing. And I never have everything sewn up. So the challenge is constant. And it's a battle because I'm going to get this, you know, figured out and aligned. But just as you get one side figured, it's changed and it's different, you know, on the other side. But that's what's kept me so busy and engaged. You just never master it, and it can be exhausting. But yeah, it helps when you've got amazing people to draw on, just to help you.
How do we unwind?
Okay, the honest version. So, I mean, I love reading, but actually I find it so easy to doom scroll, you know, when you just get sucked into your TikTok and just there's so much out there. So for a busy mind, you know, it's lovely just to see so many different things. In TikTok, you can come across astrophysics and then humor and cats and dogs and people. But I do love to read. So, you know, if I can, I'm trying hard not to go down the social media rabbit holes. And I like to spend time with my family, chilling, beach time, holiday time. We like to chill together. So they're definitely my DNA.
Yeah, which is good. Yeah, that's amazing. You've done well. You've really done well. Congratulations. What does the next 10 years look like?
So I've recently ascended to the fifth floor of life. So we are basically, we're looking at now is the time where I feel quite a sense of responsibility to make sure I'm putting back into the organization, that whatever I'm setting up will benefit the future generations and leaders coming through. I'm in such a happy place. Like I say, it just, I'm busy. I don't have time to think about the next, you know, and my second career, yeah, I've started, you know, I do have to have a plan. I can't arrive without a plan. Yeah. So that's going to be the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. Well, you have time. You've just arrived on the fifth floor. Those of us that are looking more towards the seventh floor, enjoy it.
Thank you.
It will end.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been an honor to meet with you and to engage with you. You've done well. And congratulations.
Thank you, Dr. Judy. It's actually been an amazing experience. And really, thank you for the messages as well. You know, it's so nice when you get those sound bites from your past coming back. And just to hear that as well. So thank you. It's gone really quickly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashley.